Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So I'm curious, how many of you are still celebrating Christmas? We're not done yet. Good job. Good job. Yeah, so actually, today isn't officially Epiphany. Epiphany actually happens every year on the 6th of January. So you have two more days of Christmas. So what does that make it? The 10th day of Christmas. So I hope that you will continue to celebrate. How many of you have taken down your Christmas tree already? Mm-hmm. Taken down the Christmas tree. You had to before it caught on fire. Well, there is the logistics. So my parents are really funny, right? So my parents live in the upper Midwest, and they have a blanket of clouds covering them pretty much all winter long. And they decided last year that they loved their, it's a false tree, but they loved their tree in their living room so much, and they didn't want to take it down because it was like this wonderful, twinkly, sparkly light, right? All winter. And so they left it up. So after Christmas, they decided, we're going to keep decorating. And you probably saw pictures if you're friends with my parents on Facebook. It was Valentine's Day, and they had a Valentine's Day tree. And then they had a St. Patrick's Day tree. And then, I don't even know, something else. And then they had an Easter tree. I think they had their tree up until summer, like May, June, when the snow finally melted. But it's a really important thing to have light, right? And here we are on Epiphany Sunday, celebrating light and asking for God to always be the light of our lives. This story from Matthew's Gospel of the wise men, or the magi, however you prefer to call them, they came from a distant country to witness for themselves God embodied in the flesh, God made manifest. We're told the light of the world. And I'm certain that their journey to get there to Jesus to worship was probably very difficult at times. Perhaps they stumbled. I would assume they stumbled in the dark, no matter how wise they were. I would assume it was uncertain as they followed a star that would probably be covered with clouds every once in a while, or fog, depending on where they were. And I'm sure, though, also they found their way. Because we hear the story of how they did come and worship and knelt down at Jesus' feet and observed the glory of God come in the flesh. Having shared their gifts, having offered their gifts to Jesus, they too received blessings that they didn't expect. And then they started their journey home. Thank goodness they were warned in a dream and they returned to their country another way, another route. Today, with the traveling magi, we find ourselves, as some would think, at the end of a journey. But I also like to think of it as a beginning. Taking paths together that we didn't expect, journeying down roads we might be uncertain about, perhaps feeling sometimes like we're following a star that seems faded or hidden by the shadow of the clouds. But also, like the magi, we've shared our gifts with one another. We've knelt in worship together. We've praised God, and I think we can even be bold to say, at times we have seen God face to face. It's hard to believe that today I leave you. We say our goodbyes, but we also celebrate gifts given and gifts received and blessings shared. And like the Magi, too, I know for certain I'm leaving different than when I came. And because of our time together, I pray also that you are different than when you were when I arrived. Together, we've experienced God in new ways. We've shared journeys and stories about how God is living and working in our lives. And I think, too, we felt the depth of God's love and grace in ways that we didn't expect, in ways that we hadn't before. We've grown and changed as a people of God. The story from Matthew's Gospel tells us that these wise men came to Jerusalem in search of Jesus, who had been born King of the Jews, because simply they wanted to worship. That was the focus of their entire journey. In other words, they, like us, were searching for the object of their worship, the most revered thing, the thing of the focus of their praise, God himself. And like theirs, our search for this precious God is a lifelong voyage, filled with winding roads and bumps and bruises and maybe even a few U-turns. Matthew's gospel, the only gospel we hear of this story, states that these wise men started in the east and they moved west. They left home, the most familiar of places. They knew the status quo. They knew what the norms were, where everything was safe. And they ventured out toward a yet unknown destination. And they didn't have a clear map. They didn't have a GPS. They didn't have Google to help them on their way. They had no idea what to expect other than to follow a star. Their journey, I think, would be and was uncertain at times, and probably often a bit foggy. It would be, I think, also a journey not unlike that of Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament, who at the call of God departed their native land, everything that was safe and secure, and traveled toward the land of promise. And like any journey, this journey of searching for that principal thing, the focus of our worship, involves enduring some rough spots along the way, negotiating a curve or two, climbing some hills, and passing through and out of dark valleys. And I think as the focus of the journey becomes clearer along the way, we're only filled over and over again with insight and wonder at God's amazing works. But that continued discovery of that which is most sacred and precious to us frequently takes us to different places. So consider what would happen, for instance, if the role of the tyrant King Herod in today's gospel was different. He is, in a way, a bump in the road, if I ever did see one. As the account of the wise men's quest is reported in our gospel, no fewer than 5 times in these short 12 verses is Herod mentioned, and yet he changes the course of history. His reign, Herod's reign, provides the context in which the wise men's quest and discovery takes place. It's Herod who is threatened by and resistant to the news of the birth of a king. And he gathered together his religious leaders and authorities and received from them and deceptively advises them, the Magi, concerning the place, birthplace of Jesus. I can imagine him sort of schmoozing with them and kind of working out the news with a hidden agenda. When I think about us and our focus of our journey and what we are part of, it's not about the past. Our journeys are what lays ahead. I don't think we are called to remain in the past or not to spend a lot of time mourning the expectations that have not come to fruition. Nor are we supposed to spend a lot of time grieving the loss of our own dreams or feeling things unyet finished. I think, like the Magi, we're called to go forward, to yes, acknowledge what was and what could have been, but also acknowledge the ways that we've changed, and trusting together the promises of God. So as people of faith, we are called to do is like the Magi going forward, knowing that our comfort and our hope lies in Jesus, lies in the true light of the world. So as we follow the star, the light of our lives, we know there is goodness found in God's dream. And when we can't see it for ourselves, when that light seems a bit clouded or shaded, all we need to do is rely on one another and the scripture stories. Just think. Our 3 Magi, they didn't stop when they found out, even though it was a dream, that Herod was a tyrant and a threat. That could have been, the world's worst speed bump in any journey. They continued and persevered along another road, and they changed course, but they continued. I think the importance of Christmas and the importance of Epiphany and our continued journeys is that, frankly, God dwelt among us. That God became flesh and continues to dwell among us. Epiphany is a great kind of ending and yet new beginning point for us together. Epiphany itself means manifestation, means revelation, and I pray that the revelation of God's love for each of us may continue to unfold in our journeys of faith, both you as a congregation, but also me as pastor and follower of the star. And as we each search for the presence of God in our lives, I pray that the gift and the miracle of God, Emmanuel, come and dwelling among us, and the Magi's adoration and the journey towards the Christ child, that it may all be incentive to continue along our path when things don't unfold the way we expect. May you never be deterred. And if you are, may it not be for too long. By the long bump in the road, or the climb up the hill you didn't expect, or the curve in the path that seems like it will never end. Along our way, we will get glimpses of the miracle, and we will be given changes and challenges and opportunities to observe the light dwelling among us. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your journey, sharing and worshiping the star together, that light of our lives. I will forever be blessed. And like the Magi who returned home, I'm returning differently as well. And may that light continue to guide our path, though not in the same place at the same time. We will continue down different paths and different roads, worshiping and praising the same God. And for that I say, Amen.